Well, Zayo family, how are we doing this morning? It's good to see you guys. Thank you so much for being here today. Glad that you're with us. And man, wasn't that awesome? Wasn't Jordan just a treat, you know? I can't wait to have him back. He and I hit it off, and just a pastor's heart, and excited for the future. But what a blessing that was. And thank you to Altrua and to Randy for bringing him in, letting him come and be a treat to our church. Well, I want to tell you what's coming up in the near future here, just to kind of give you a heads up for what's going on at Zayo. Exciting times here, busy times. When is it not busy? But it's exciting. And so over the next couple of weeks, we've got some stuff coming up. Next Sunday, we have our Christmas service, if you will. We'll have more Christmas music and finish off the series, this Christmas series that we're in. And then on the 24th, Christmas Eve, we'll have Christmas Eve services, 5 and 7 p.m., candlelight service, identical services, invite you to those. And then on the 28th, we have Zayo at Home. It's a service that we hold once a year where we give our volunteers and our staff the weekend off so they don't have to cram that in around the holidays and manage food and family. And so we've done this as it's been a tradition. It's been a fun time because it's a chance for us to kind of produce a service. And so we do full worship, teaching, testimony video, a recap video of the year. Pastor Crystal does a whole message series for the kids, so your kids can tune in as well. We love Zet Home. That's on the 28th. So you can tune in on the 28th there from the comfort of your own home and your pajamas in bed. You get to watch church in bed, and it's okay. It's okay to do that. And then the beginning of the year in January, we'll start 21 days of prayer and fasting. We'll have a conference at the end of that season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. We'll tell you more about that. But one thing I want to tell you about, and then we'll jump into the message, is we are going to remodel this place. So as you know, we are growing every week. We're packed every week. Want to greet our overflow spaces every week. We're full to the brim, and we know that we're limited here. And so we have talked to our landlords, and because we're moving, we have a date and we have a target that we're moving towards to build the phase one on our land, just a few miles down the road. That should be ready in about 18 months. So went to our landlord and said, hey, it's not going to be a couple months, it's going to be 18 months. And we really, at this point, need to grow and create some more space. So I'm excited. This is fun. It's like a remodeling your house, but this house. What we're doing, just to give you a heads up, we're going to take this kitchen out. We're going to take out this tech booth here. We're going to take out that wall there, take out this wall here, and we're going to flip the room. Stage is going to go over here, and it's going to open up about 50 seats, we expect. We're excited about that. It's always fun to remodel, but it is going to take some time. We're thinking it'll be about 3 or 4 weeks to get that done, and construction is going to start next Monday, a week from Monday. So what that means is on Christmas Eve, we're going to be under the stars in a tent. We actually rented a big old tent, enclosed tent. We'll have heaters and lights in the tent. We're going to put it on the deck, and we're going to have Christmas Eve out on the deck. It's going to add to the ambiance, all right? It's a candlelight service. It's going to be kind of fun. And then we're anticipating probably the first 2 weeks of the year we'll be in the tent as well. And so we'll have the heaters out there, and it's full enclosed, so it'll be fun. I think this is fun times. I think it's fun when you kind of remodel and do those things. You know, when we remodeled our house, we have a detached barn, and I made a room. And it was about 300 square feet in this barn, and our family lived in it for 4 months. We were excited the whole time, you know. So it might be inconvenient, but man, we were, right? We loved it, didn't we? We loved it. She loved it. And you're going to love it too, okay? Smile and be happy. Well, let's jump into the series today and week two of our series we've been in called A Christmas Carol, Getting Unscrooged. Just nudge the person next to you if they need to be unscrewed this holiday season. Most of you know the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, right? This old, crusty, bitter, closed-off man visited by three ghosts that force him to face his past, his present, and his future. And this ghost that visits him from his past led him to a place of freedom. And believe it or not, we can learn something from this story. Here's the application, I believe, for us, and that is this, that Jesus, He didn't come just to give us a cozy Christmas. He came to set us free. Free from the ghosts of your past. Free from the hard and bitter hearts. And free from labels and identity that people try to put on you. That's what this series is all about. Over these 3 weeks, we're going to look at last week. We talked about the ghost of Christmas past, dealing with offenses and old wounds. This week, we're going to look at the ghost of shame, the stuff we did and the stuff done to us. And then next week, we're going to look at the ghost of labels, the names, identities, expectations that have stuck with us for years. So our theme verse for the series comes from the words of Jesus when he steps onto the scene and he announces his ministry in Luke 4, verse 18. It says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." This is why he came, to proclaim the good news. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's Christmas. That's why he was born. That's why he came. It's good news. Freedom is here. Healing has come. It's a fresh start for you and for me. You know, Jesus, he came so you don't have to live a haunted, bound up life any longer. You see, Christmas reveals what the rest of the year tries to hide. It doesn't just introduce new emotions. It intensifies the emotions that are already there. When life is good, man, the joy, the lights, the traditions, man, Christmas feels magical. But when life is heavy, when relationships are stretched thin, when grief is so fresh, when tensions are unresolved, Christmas, it doesn't make those things disappear. It often makes those things a little heavier. And they show up around this time as well. This week alone, I had several phone calls of people going through some very, very difficult stuff. Just this week, just hit. Research tells us that the holidays are the most emotionally supercharged time of the entire year. Nearly 90% of adults say they feel more pressure and emotional strain during Christmas. But I thought it's joy to the world. Peace has come. Almost half of families admit they hit a breaking point at a family gathering, and many of the conflicts won't be resolved for years to come. So if Christmas feels a little complicated, you're not broken, you're normal, you're human. And the good news is that Jesus comes in the middle of that mess. Not to give you a cute nativity scene, but to set people free from stuff that had been drowning their souls, dragging them around for years. So last week, we talked about the ghost of Christmas past. We talked about the offense, these grudges and irritations and the wounds and relational splinters that keep showing up every Christmas year. We said this: my life is too short and my calling is too great to live offended. And many of us have made the decision to let God lift up some old offenses off of our lives. But today we're going a little deeper, because some of us aren't being haunted by offense. We're being haunted by shame. Offense is what they did to you. Shame is what you believe about yourself. Shame is the ghost that doesn't come a-knocking. It busts the door open, comes on in, and sits in. It sits at your table. It whispers thoughts to you. It tells you you're not enough. You're never going to change. You're dirty. You're filthy. You're broken. You're unlovable. Shame attempts to change your identity. And Christmas, for many people, has a way of turning up the volume on those lies. Seeing family. Seeing reminders of who you used to be. Seeing empty chairs that remind you of choices that you regret. Seeing people who knew the old version of you. We know the new version, but you get around some people who know the old you. So today we're gonna call it out. Today we're gonna confront it. Today we're letting the Word of God speak to the darkest corners of our identity. And today we're gonna let Jesus do what he does, which is what church is all about, by the way. It's not just about coming in and singing some songs and hearing a good old word and leaving. We're going to let Jesus do what he does. Church is a place where heaven touches earth, where miracles happen. Jesus wants to bring some freedom into your life today. If you have been bound up with shame, you're going to leave different today. Because Jesus didn't only come to forgive you of your sins. He came to heal you. He came to heal you of your shame. So if you're taking message notes, the title of this morning's message is Set Free from the Ghost of Shame. Set free from the ghost of shame. We're going to see that take place today. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. Thank you for what you want to do in the hearts of every person at Zayo here and watching online. God, we thank you that you came to set the captives free. Lord, we receive your freedom today. Would you speak to our hearts in Jesus' name? And everybody said, amen. I'm so excited about this message. But I got to warn you, this one's not light and fluffy. This isn't 10 ways to have a cuter Christmas tree, all right? I know that's the message you want to hear. But it's going to be powerful. Today we're talking about one of the heaviest emotions a human being can carry, and that's shame. And what's wild is this: for so many people, Christmas has a way of elevating shame. It's when shame shouts the loudest in our lives. Why? Because you go back in time. You go back to your old houses, family, friends. You go back and hear old voices. Old wounds get stirred up. Old patterns. You're looking at old pictures. And the enemy loves just to use all of those things to drag out the worst version of you. Here's how I'd like to identify shame. If you're taking message notes, you can write this down. Shame is a slow poison that sinks into your soul and hijacks who you believe you are. It's not just, man, I feel bad about what I did. That's guilt. Shame is, I feel broken and ruined because of who I am. There's a big difference between guilt and shame. If you're taking message notes, you got to get this deep in your soul on this one. Guilt says I did something bad. Shame says I am bad. Guilt is about what you did. Shame is about who you are. Guilt can actually be a gift. It can lead you to repentance and to change. We call that the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Shame doesn't lead you to Jesus. Shame makes you hide from Jesus. Here's what we do with shame. We connect the what with the who. I lied, that's the what, so I must be a liar at my core. That's the who. I failed, so I must be a failure in life. They left me, so I must be unlovable. I sinned sexually, so I must be dirty forever. If you trace this back, most of us probably can remember the first time the voice of shame appeared in our lives. Let's go back to that place. For some of you, your first taste of shame came from something that was on the surface and seemed small, seemed insignificant. Like you broke something at home. You were young. You were a child. You broke something at home. You tried to hide it, but you got caught. And instead of hearing somebody come and say, hey, mistakes happen, it's going to be okay, you heard, what is wrong with you? There's something wrong with you. You're a problem. Or maybe for some of you, you brought home a B+, which for you was a victory lap. And for me, it would have been an amazing test, right? But the response wasn't great. It wasn't, hey, good job, son. I'm proud of you, daughter. Instead, it was, well, you could have gotten an A. And somewhere inside your little heart, it translated that message into, I'm not enough. There's something wrong with me. Or maybe you got caught looking at something you shouldn't have looked at. Instead of someone coming to shepherd your heart, hey, let's, this is why we don't do this. This is why we don't look at this. What you heard was, I can't believe you. You disgust me. There's something wrong with you. We even have a phrase for this in our culture, and I hate this phrase, and I hear it all the time, even in Christian, good-hearted people. They say this: shame on you. Maybe you've heard that recently. Shame on you. Oh, I can't believe you did that. Shame on you. Even in a joking or even a loving way. Shame on you. You hear it all the time in our culture. But for some of you, that phrase didn't bounce off of you. That phrase branded you. Shame on me. I'm shameful. It didn't just correct a behavior, it marked an identity. You didn't just feel bad about what you did, you started to believe something dark and heavy about who you are. I'm shameful. And over time, shame doesn't just attack you, shame hands you a script. A script you never auditioned for, a script you never agreed to, a script you never wanted but somehow memorized it in your heart. It sounds like this: I am defective. I'm damaged. I'm broken. I'm flawed. I'm dirty. I'm impure. I'm disgusting. I'm unlovable. I'm weak. I'm insignificant. I am worthless. I am unwanted. Aren't you glad you came to Zao Church today to be encouraged? These aren't just feelings. This isn't just sadness. And this isn't even self-criticism anymore. This is identity-changing language. What's happening? The enemy is using shame to rename you. Well, why would the enemy want to rename you? Because the enemy knows if he can rename you, he can claim you. And some of you are sitting here thinking, Pastor, this is getting so depressing. I know. I told you we were going to go there. However, we're not going to settle there. We're going to call it out. We got to identify it. We're not pitching a tent in the darkness. We're not building a house in the heaviness. We're just holding it up and letting Jesus shine his light on it, shining light on the shame that we've been walking with so many years so he can bring freedom to your life. Because Jesus cannot heal what we refuse to name. You got to call it out. And the moment you bring it out of hiding, grace rushes in like oxygen to a suffocating room. That's what's happening this morning. You see, counselors talk about something called shame-based thinking. Shame-based thinking. Here's what that means. Shame doesn't just live in your past where an event happened. It becomes the lens to which you see your present and your future through. Shame-based thinking. If something you did, or here's a big one, something that was done to you, starts shaping how you interpret every aspect of life. You don't just feel shame anymore. You start to think shame. So now shame becomes your filter. Shame becomes your translator. Shame becomes your inner narrator. So you walk into a room like this, and shame tells you why everything is wrong with you and why you probably shouldn't be here and how the people probably perceive you. Only if they know what you've done. You wouldn't be welcomed in this church. Or you start a new relationship and shame tells you you never can keep a relationship. You sabotage everything. This will end bad. Or you try something new and shame tells you you never finish what you start. You're going to fail at this because you're a failure. So today I want to show you just real quickly three major ways that shame-based thinking tends to show up in our lives. Because once you see it, by the power of Jesus, you can break it. So here's the first way. Shame makes us vulnerable to perfection. When you carry shame, you start believing, if I can just get it perfect, maybe I won't feel so broken anymore. So you try to outrun shame with performance. You think, if I never mess up, maybe they'll finally accept me. I just can't mess up. If I can keep everybody happy, which is so hard to do, let me keep everybody happy, right? Maybe then I'll feel worthy. And if I succeed enough, if they recognize my accomplishments, maybe then I won't feel like a failure. So by perfection, we try to eliminate shame. But perfection is a moving target. And shame always moves it further. It's like trying to mop up a flood with a Q-tip. You're working so hard, but underneath the surface, you're exhausted because it's still there. So shame makes us vulnerable to perfection. Here's a second way that shame-based thinking tends to show up in our lives. Shame makes us harsh with ourselves and harsh with others. This one's gonna touch you a little personal right here. This one's gonna hurt. Here's what most people don't realize. Your inner critic becomes your outer critic. When someone tells you you're not enough, you always screw up. You're such a disappointment. What happens is you start speaking that same tone over someone else. Why? Because you recognize your own weakness in them. And shame always attacks what it recognizes. This is why someone who is hypercritical, super irritable, always nitpicking, do you have a face in your mind yet, is almost always carrying deep, unhealed shame themselves. They're not mad at you. They're mad at themselves. And they got some shame on them. But you're just the one standing close enough for them to take it out on. It's like emotional secondhand smoke. You're breathing in the shame someone else is dying from. That one was dirty right there. The Lord gave me that one. That's... So shame makes us vulnerable to perfection. Shame makes us harsh with others and harsh with ourselves. And finally, shame uses self-defeating thoughts as a form of protection. So shame tells you this. Don't even try. Don't hope. Don't expect anything. Don't trust. Don't reach out. Shame convinces you to expect the worst as a self-protection mode. So I don't get disappointed again. It sounds like, man, they're not going to like me anyways, so why even try? This relationship will probably fail, so why even get into it? If I open up, they're going to reject me, so I'll just stay closed off. Why even apply for this job? I won't get it anyways, so I won't apply. And we think like that long enough, you start sabotaging opportunities before they even begin. You walk into the room already assuming that you don't belong. And I wonder if someone in here is like that. Man, I don't belong here. That's your shame speaking. You talk yourself out of the thing that God already said yes to. You assume the worst so you won't get hurt, but the assumption hurts you anyways. And this is why Christmas gets crazy. Because shame doesn't stay quiet around the holidays, it grabs a megaphone. You get around certain family members, and suddenly you're back in that old place, you're 12 years old again, hearing the same tone, feeling the same weight. Like your mom snaps out of nowhere, but she's really just bleeding from her own unhealed shame. Your dad, he just numbs everything. He disguises what's really going on, but he's carrying the same shame that he struggled with this entire year that he never allowed Jesus to speak into. Your in-laws, they criticize your parenting. I'm not talking about you because my in-laws are in the room. Your in-laws, it's just illustrations. Your in-laws criticize your parenting, which they've never done. But it's coming from shame about their own mistakes. Your frustration with everyone else might just be a mirror of the frustration you feel inside yourself. But church, shame might be loud, but Jesus is louder. So before we go any further, we need to hear God's voice on this. We need to hear God's heart on this. My prayer over you this week has been rooted in this verse right here, Isaiah 54:4. It says this, "Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth." Now, I need you to hear this as if God is in the room speaking it directly to you, not to a crowd, not to a church, but right to you individually. Hey, listen, do not be afraid. You will no longer live in shame. You do not have to wear disgrace anymore. You do not have to keep replaying the shame and the sins and the mistakes of your youth. That's God speaking to you. Because some of you have been carrying shame for so long. You've been carrying shame for so long, you don't even recognize it or call it shame anymore. You now call shame normal. But God calls it finished. If you're a follower of Jesus, you can confidently walk out of shame today. It's a gift that he gives you through his son, Jesus. Why? Because God doesn't just clean the surface, he purifies the soul. Here's his promise, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins. And he's going to purify you. He's going to take it away. He's going to clean you white as snow from all unrighteousness. Not a halfway clean. Not almost forgiven. Jesus wants to completely purify you. Scripture says you are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come. That 12-year-old is no longer here. The new has come. The Bible says that he separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He says that there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus today, there's no condemnation on you. If God is that good, and his forgiveness is that real, which it is, then why do so many Christians struggle with this? Why do we believe forgiveness with our minds, but never experience forgiveness in our hearts? Here's why. Because shame doesn't just attack what you did. Shame tries to rename who you are. Shame isn't about a one-time event. Shame isn't about an identity. And once shame gets into your identity, it becomes the operating system of your soul. The Bible gives us a perfect picture of this. God's people were slaves in Egypt for 430 years. Slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt for four centuries and generation after generation. Their identity was shaped with the same message, and that is this: you are a slave. You are nothing. You don't matter. You don't have any choices. You're a slave. And then out of nowhere, God raises up a man named Moses. Through miracles, he frees the people of God, splits the sea, leads them into freedom. You see, they walked out physically free, but they were still emotionally and spiritually enslaved. And I see this so often in ministry. You see, they were out of Egypt, but Egypt was not out of them. They were slaves, men and women, but they were thinking like prisoners. To at which one point they said, let's just go back to slavery. This is what shame does. You can love Jesus. You can put on a good Christian smile this morning. You can serve in church. You can raise your hands in worship, and you can still think like the person you used to be. Full of shame. Shame tells you, I am what I did. This is a big one. And I think this is where shame shows himself so much. I am what happened to me. I am what they called me. I am what I fear, I still am. But here's the truth, you are still believing you are something that God says you are not. And you need to hear God's voice on this, not the voice of shame. So let me be vulnerable before you for a moment. My shame script sounds like this: I am not enough. Jared Lyons, pastor of Zao Church, I am not enough. I'm not smart enough. There are people far more smarter than I am. I was a C student at best in content mastery, where the special kids go in school. I'm not spiritual enough. Have you seen Pastor Dustin pray and prophesy? I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not patient enough. I'm not present enough as a dad. I'm not strong enough as a leader. And I'm not loving enough as a husband. Shame tells me, man, no matter what you do, you'll always fall short. That's my script. And then I live from that place. And when I live from that place, I get unhealthy real quick. I overwork. I overperform. You know, I'm just like, I'm trying to overcompensate here. I overcompensate. I carry things that were never meant to be carried. I try to fix people that Jesus didn't ask me to fix. I run myself into exhaustion trying to prove something that Jesus already settled on the cross, and that is this: in me, you are enough because I am enough. I'm not enough, but He is. Maybe you're shame, and I want you to really apply this to your life today, church. Maybe your shame isn't I'm not enough. Maybe it says I'm unlovable. I'm dirty. I'm always the problem. I'm broken beyond repair. I'm a disappointment. That's a big one. I'm unwanted. I'm too messed up for God to use. Whatever yours is, you know it. You've heard it. You've battled with it. Because this is what shame actually feels like. Shame feels like something. I'm going to try to illustrate it to you today. Shame never comes alone. Shame always brings luggage. Shame always brings luggage. I'm coming to my luggage here. Maybe for you today, maybe you are like me. You're just not enough. Some of you carried this shame piece your entire life. You don't just believe you did something wrong, you believe you are wrong. You're not enough. Or maybe for some of you, you're unlovable. Someone left you, someone betrayed you. And shame has now convinced you, see, that's who you really are. There's something wrong with you. No one's ever going to love you. You're unlovable. You're dirty. I know what you did. But I feel this so strongly. I know what someone did to you. Because of what someone did to you, you're dirty. As pastors, we counsel so many people with this right here. Something was done to them, and because something was done to them, they're dirty. That stain will never wash off. You're ruined. Here's another one. Got so much baggage here. You're a failure. Something that you did, you failed at it, and you started to believe the lie, and this is all I'll ever be. I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. I'll always fail. So this is what we do. We have our baggage, our shame, and this is what shame looks like. We wear it around. Before long, you walk into rooms. Nice to see you. Jared, got some shame on me. Nice to see you. Ready to worship today. A good little Christian boy, you know. Nice to see you guys back there. You come in here and worship. We worship with shame on us. We go to work with shame on us. We're carrying the weight of, and this, okay, that's heavy, okay? Like, just to illustrate it to you. Carrying the shame of my life, it's heavy. It's weighing on me. This is how I lead my family with shame. This is how I see God with shame. This is how I see myself with shame. I got a backpack on. I'm carrying the luggage of shame. I'm weighted down. I'm exhausted. Dragging around old wounds. Words that God never spoke over me. Because shame doesn't just attack what you did. It tries to rename who you are. It's changing your identity. I got some shame on me now. Here's what I want you to catch in today's message. If you're taking notes, I hope this will help you. But the only way out of shame is to shift your focus from who you aren't to who Christ is. If you stare at yourself long enough, You'll always find something wrong. And honestly, some of you have been believing these lies for a long time. And what's interesting about this is some of what you believe about yourself might actually be partially true. I'm a sinner. So am I. That's why Jesus came. Amen. I'm inadequate. Well, 100% you are. I am too. And that's why we weren't meant to do life alone. I don't measure up. That's true. Outside of Christ, none of us do. There is a sliver of truth in all of that. That's why the answer isn't more about me focus, more introspection, more self-improvement. The answer is Christ focus. So I want you to try something. This is powerful. Now or later, I want you to identify it, all right? This might be the most powerful and most important thing you write down all Christmas. Let me give it to you. I am not blank. Because of Christ, I am blank. We are replacing a truth with a lie. We're setting that truth above the lie. You got to be brutally honest when you fill this blank out. And I want you to think about this for a moment. I am not enough. I am not pure. I am not wanted. I am not worthy. I am not strong. I am not lovable. What is your blank? I am not. Then you got to fill in the second blank with heaven's truth. We're placing that lie with the truth of God's word. I am not enough, but because of Christ, I am chosen. I am not pure, but because of Christ, I am forgiven and I am made clean. I am not lovable, but because of Christ, I am deeply loved and chosen. I am not strong, but because of Christ, I am empowered by His Spirit. Where I am weak, He is strong. I am not perfect, but because of Christ, I am a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Healing begins when your I am starts agreeing with God's I am. So back to Israel. They're out of Egypt, but Egypt's not out of them. They're carrying around their luggage. They got shame on them. And then God says something stunning in Joshua 5:9. I believe He's saying it over our church today. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. You were never built to carry what Christ has already lifted off of you." So church, what you carried in today, you're not carrying out. Not today. Not after this word. Not after this moment. Shame came in with you, but it's not leaving with you. It stays on the floor. Grace doesn't ask you to manage the weight. Grace invites you to drop the weight. So He speaks this over you today. "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." Reproach, it means disgrace, shame, the stain of your past. And He wants to do this now, not eventually, not when you get your life together, not after therapy and 3 Bible messages, but today, in the presence of God, the grace of God is rolling away the shame of your past. Some of you have lived under the words, "shame on you," for decades. But today, God speaks a new phrase over you, "shame off you." Shame off you. Some of you need to receive that today. Shame off you. Shame was on you, but because of Jesus, shame is now off of you. So the next time the enemy whispers to you, "shame on you," you respond, "no, shame was on me, but now today, by the power of Jesus, shame is off of me." Don't receive that. Don't let someone say that over you. You are not what you did. You are not what they did to you. You are not what they said about you. You are who Christ says you are. And if you are in Christ, this is your identity. You are free. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are healed. You are chosen. You are blessed. You are a child of God today, Zao Church. You are out of Egypt, and in Jesus' name, Egypt is coming out of you today. You are out of shame, and in Jesus' name, shame is coming out of you today. I just believe with everything in me that this is the moment that somebody has been waiting for years. And if this is for one person, I'm okay. I'm okay with that. This is the moment where Jesus steps in. He breaks the lies, the shame that try to build up your life. Some of you have lived under shame for so long, you don't even know who you would be without it. Shame has become your soundtrack. Shame has become your filter. Shame has become your label. But today, God is speaking the same word that He spoke in Joshua 5. He's speaking it over you today. I have rolled away your shame. We are dropping the shame today. We're taking off the luggage today. Not because you earned it. Not because you've proven yourself worthy. Not because you finally cleaned everything up and you decided to live free. No, because of the grace of Jesus. The grace of God is stronger than your past. The grace of God is stronger than your failures. The grace of God is stronger than your story, your secrets, your fears, or your worst moments. Shame says, stay hidden. Jesus says, step into the light. Shame says, you're too dirty. Jesus says, I've washed you clean. Shame says, you're unlovable. And Jesus says, I loved you first. Shame says, you'll never change. And Jesus says, I make all things new again. Shame may have written a chapter of your story, but it does not get to write your ending. The voice that has been trying to name you is not the voice that has created you. And the one who created you says, you are mine and you are free. And I believe right now He wants to lead some people into freedom. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads right where you're at? I believe He wants to do something in this moment. If you say, Pastor, there's an area of my life, maybe something from my past, maybe something that was done to me, maybe a label that I've carried for years, where shame has had a hold on me. Today, I want Jesus to roll it away. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I just want you to receive this. Identify your shame. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that shame is losing its power over our lives right now. I thank you that every lie spoken over your sons and over your daughters is being broken by the truth of your word. I thank you for purity where there was impurity. I thank you for identity where there was confusion. I thank you for honor where there was disgrace. I thank you that today, not tomorrow, not later, but today you are rolling away the reproach of Egypt. I pray you'd fill every mind with your truth and every heart with your spirit. Where shame says, I am not enough, let them hear today. You speak over them. In Christ, you are more than enough. Where shame says, I am unlovable, let them hear today and feel your love wrap around them. And say, I choose you. I love you. And where shame says, I am dirty, let them feel washed, clean, and purified by your grace. Where shame says, I am worthless, let them hear the whisper of the Father, you are my child. The Bible says you are co-heir with Christ. Thank you that freedom is coming into the room. Shame is being broken off of us right now in the name of Jesus. And now as we stay in this moment of prayer, because many of you just lifted your hands, you lifted the shame that was off you. But there are others here in this room who need something deeper. You need forgiveness. You need salvation. You need Jesus. Some of you know exactly what shame feels like because you've been carrying around the weight of your sin alone for far too long. But the beauty of the gospel is this: Jesus didn't take your sin, He took your shame as well. He wore your disgrace so you could wear His righteousness. He hung naked on a tree so you would never stand naked in your shame again. He died so you could live. And today, right now, right here, He is inviting you to surrender your life to Him and receive forgiveness and healing and identity and salvation. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need His forgiveness. I want to surrender my life to Him. I want you to pray this prayer. Repeat this after me. We're going to pray this to God. God, today I'm coming to you. Today I give you my life. Today this is my moment of surrender. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. And I receive the forgiveness in this very moment. I take on the faith of Jesus and I live the life that he wants me to live. From this day forward, I choose you. My hope, my salvation, my peace is in you. Change me and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Quick clap and celebrate those who